Hey, Bassholes, what's going on? I just want to let everyone know that we're going to be doing a live I'm a Basshole with Doug Bass show at the Hollywood Improv in Los Angeles. You can grab tickets at www.bassholeshow.com. It's going to be Sunday, December 11th at 9 p.m. Again, go to bassholeshow.com to grab tickets to see us live. Here's a new episode.
What is- From Basshole Studios in Hollywood, California.
Yo, what time is it?
You're listening to I'm a Basshole with Doug Bass. We've all been one.
He's an asshole.
So let's laugh about it. Now, here's your host, Doug Bass.
Hey, everyone. What's up? What's up, everyone? Welcome to the show. I'm Doug Bass. This is I'm a Basshole. You guys know the drill. Subscribe to us on Instagram at Basshole Podcast or at Basshole Show. Go to the YouTube channel. It's where you get the full visual experience of this show. And by visual, I mean you'll be watching the videos as we create them. You know, the broadcast from the actual live in-studio show or on YouTube at the YouTube channel. At Doug Bass Comedy, or just search on YouTube I'm a Basshole podcast show and you'll find it there. What else is going on? We have another live show coming up at the Hollywood Improv on Sunday, December 11th at 9 p.m. Tickets are now on sale. You can go to bassholeshow.com to get those tickets. If you're in the LA area, it's going to be a fun little Christmas show. Maybe we'll have some Christmas asshole stories. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen yet. We're going to have a good lineup, though. I can tell you that. I'm not going to tell you who's booked yet because it's not complete yet. So I don't want to lie to you. I would never do that to you guys. I would never lie. I would always be the best, honest asshole that I can be. We got a great show today. I'm excited. I am excited. One of my bestie from high school, from the East Coast, from New Jersey, New York, Michelle Traina is in the studio today, and she's finally here. She's finally in L.A., and we're going to talk to her and talk about her her show, Divorce Diaries. So let's welcome Michelle. Michelle.
Oh my God, I'm looking at myself in the monitor. This is awesome, Doug.
I know. You should never look at yourself in the monitor.
Well, I think this is what you're doing with the Basshole studio is quite a nice studio. I'm very jealous and I love it.
It's an amazing studio. It's on the Universal lot. No.
It is. I'm really proud of you. Like, I'm looking at the lights, getting blinded. Like, it's really cool. I'm looking at myself to see if you can see any, like, boogers hanging out of my nose.
That's the one thing. I do have a monitor in the studio that guests, when they're here, they can see themselves, like, during the broadcast. And I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing.
No, I love it. You should have.
Because a lot of people, I think, they just start looking at themselves like, oh my
like
God.
Me right now? Because yeah, I don't want to look like a fucking...
And then they don't look at, like, me or the cameras or whatever.
All right. Well, I looked for my for a second.
And ultimately, if people were waiting in the green room, that's where they should be watching it, I guess. But, you know.
Yeah.
We don't have that kind of operation yet. So.
Season two.
I think this is season two or three. I don't even know. Season two. Yeah, this
All
is season two.
Season three, then.
Season three, when we have funding. Sure, yeah. that's when that'll happen. So how are you? You made it to Los Angeles. You are here.
I made it on the asshole flight, Spirit.
Yeah, I don't know why you took Spirit.
Cheap,
yeah. But you pay for it in the end.
Well, I only paid $5 extra for the food. I didn't have to pay for my carry-on, which was really a carry-on, and I snuck it on.
Yeah, you have to really be, like, covert doing that. I've done that a couple times with my backpack. And like,
yeah.
Sometimes it depends on who you get at the gate, I think. They'll either be like, nope, that's not allowed, or they don't care.
Yeah, well, these people were, I think, were in a rush to get to the next, because they double booked the flights back-to-back with the gates, so you don't know your gate till you're right about to get on, and I'm like, what is going on? I feel like it's the divorced airline. Like, you're
Spirit?
Yeah,
why?
Like, you're
because
always...
you're broke and you're flying it? Or
you're broke. It's like the airline is just like a hot fucking mess. Mm. Even the stewards, they were like dancing in the... which I actually
my ex used to have a Spirit Airlines credit card, and like, she would just... she would just fly that all the time and get points on Spirit.
Oh, right.
And I would always joke, like, why, like, you know, it's like, that's like the worst airline credit card you could probably have.
They had that at the end. They wanted you to apply for a credit card before you got off.
It's like a prison sentence. They want you to keep flying it. And then you have the credit card, then you're stuck, and then you keep flying it and flying. It's only good, literally, I would say, for like I'll take that to Vegas, like from LA to Vegas, like, or like, you know, an hour flight. Like, that's it. Because like the last time I took them when I was going to New Orleans, I got to the airport and they canceled the flight as I was there. And, you know, it was I was meeting my dad and our friend Mark, my sister and stuff for the Final Four basketball. And, you know, they canceled the flight and I almost couldn't get another flight and I almost missed the whole trip because of them. So it was like, you know, disaster.
No, I know. I know you end up paying for it with them, but I just was like, it's like I'm on a budget. So.
Yeah, I know. This dog is going to bark for his food. I'm going to give this dog his food real quick because this is what I mean. Every time I do the podcast, a dog interrupts the session.
They're the asshole.
They are. They are the asshole. Crosby, what do you want? You want your food? Finally eat it.
I love the way the lights look. Everything's great.
I put this food down for the dog, and then he stares at it. He doesn't eat it. And then I take it away, and then he barks for it.
It's like a man. When a man is not interested in you and you like give him a lot of attention and then you pull back and you find somebody else, then the man is interested. That's what they do.
Right. I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Well,
you are here in LA in the studio. You have a divorce star. I mean, this is going to air after our show. We're doing shows tonight.
Yes.
We're doing a show tonight.
Sold out tonight.
Sold out show in Santa Monica at the Crow Theater, right?
Comedy Club. It's a new comedy club.
Oh, the Crow Comedy Club. Yeah. Sorry. Crow Comedy Club in Santa Monica. I haven't been there yet. I've heard about it. But
it's
good.
It's going well.
Yeah. So that's tonight, Saturday night. Sold out already.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, Sunday, we're going to Mic Drop in San Diego to do Divorce Diaries there.
To drop the big D.
To drop the big D in San Diego. All right, so that's great. And then you also have other shows coming up, right? At the end of November in Chicago.
Yeah. So the next show would be in Chicago. We're doing a live taping for Amazon and throw it up on Amazon. That's happening.
Right. I didn't realize that.
Yes, David Voxmullen and I and the director Danny Reyes is going to produce it. It's in the works. We're going to be taping it then. And then Governor's Comedy Club, December 2nd, Long Island.
So for the people that don't know Divorce Diaries, I know you were on the show when it first happened, it came around, but no one really was listening. No one's listening now either, but it's fine. So when you Divorce Diaries is a show that you created when after you went through your divorce.
Yes.
And it's healing through humor. It's a divorce process. It's a one-woman show, a comedy show.
Yeah.
Stand-up, improv, storytelling.
Dance.
Now there's dancing. Now there's TikTok dancing. It really just keeps evolving as you keep doing it, right?
Yeah. So essentially, the show is like a post-divorce journey through my eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you've kind of been with me through it because you were starting to do stand up, and then I was playing around this one woman show idea, which I have done one woman shows before, more in the sense of theater, right, as opposed to just stand up and improv. And then when I was going through all the post divorce stuff, it kept evolving into this comedy show. And you know, it's a grind to keep building, and I love it. And then we also created a TV series based off of my life, which Doug has been a part of.
Right. So I've kind of been a part of this. Crosby, do you have to eat during the crux of the interview? Like, literally, he makes so much noise with that little silver bowl.
He's the tiniest dog,
He's a little King Charles Cavalier, cutest dog.
So adorable.
But, like, literally, like, come on, man. Like, it's like...
It's all right.
This is the trouble I go through with the podcast. It's doing it from my home studio. We're not on the Universal lot, in case anyone really thought that. You know, but
you might be someday.
Maybe. Yeah, ultimately it would be great if I had a space just for this podcast. But you know what? Rent's expensive in LA.
Yeah.
So, all right. Are you done? Are you done eating?
He's done.
All right. I mean, let's just work around him, for Christ's sakes.
Aw.
All right. So, so I've been a part of this show throughout the years, opening and featuring. All right, you know what? Stop with that bowl. There's no more food.
It's literally every time we start talking.
Oh, my God. I really can't.
It's all right.
I can't deal. All right, come on. That's it. No more.
Aw.
It's like the rest of the day when I am not trying to do podcasts.
He's quiet.
These dogs are asleep. And then as soon as I like set it up, it's like
they're like children,
needy and barking and give me food. And
so my daughter does second I go on the phone.
So I've decided to just have to incorporate the dogs into the podcast.
100%.
There's no way around it.
100%.
Yeah, it is what it is. I also own a dog business in LA. If you guys need a dog walking or pet sitting, Dogs Dig Doug.
Dogs Dig Doug. I love that.
That's the only sponsor we have right now because
Dogs Dig Doug.
That's it. It's my own company sponsor. Oh. That's the only advertisement I do.
Somebody, you got to get a local like food dog treat. Somebody's got to be able to throw you. Yeah.
I don't know. We got to get some kind of. I don't know. I don't know who would want to advertise on this show. Maybe like therapy or therapist.
Assholes.
Well, yeah.
It's a lot of assholes in LA.
Well, I think maybe like a.
Sorry, LA.
Maybe I've been trying to think of like who would want to advertise on this show and maybe like throw a little money towards the show to produce it or whatever for advertisement spots. And I was like, all right, it's a show about assholes. So who would really want to be on that, you know?
Right. And say that they're a legit asshole.
I was thinking maybe like, maybe one of those like those attorneys that represent people in accidents or something.
Personal injury
Personal
attorneys?
Personal injury attorney, yeah.
That's maybe. Criminal defense attorneys.
Maybe that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I got to make a list. But all right. Anyway, back to divorce
stories. I have one, though, that relates to divorce stories. You can get women or men who want to get back at their exes to give you money. And then you like make a roasting joke about their ex.
That's true. Yeah, that's good.
And then
idea.
They sponsor you.
Yeah. We'll
different
see.
Tiers.
We're still young. We got to figure it out. But all right. So, yeah, divorce stories. I've been a part of it throughout the years. I've opened for the show. I've featured for you. Usually I'll come out and do some stand up.
Yeah.
And then introduce you. And then you do your one woman show, your stand up set.
And now tonight you'll see the improv
and
that
then
I just
tonight
saw.
You've added an improv section at the end. And then I come when back. I am on the show, I come back.
Yes, as an improv partner.
As an improv partner.
Would you kill that, by the way?
Oh, thank you. That's I don't know. I don't do improv that often, but I always love doing it when I get the opportunity.
So. We've always had, I think, a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, it's
when
fun.
We do the
it's
show.
Fun. So then we come back, we do an improv part at the end, and I've gone on the road a couple times with you to do this, so it's always fun. And I haven't done it. The interesting thing is I've always done it when I was like with my partner, my wife, and now
the first time.
And then as we'd always do like, oh, the best of both worlds or whatever.
Right.
It was like when I was, I'd be married and I'm talking about that. And then then you're divorced. So it was like kind of 50-50. And now this is my first time going in like
as a separated person.
Yes.
Well, I also feel like, it's just kind of the juxtaposition of like, well, this divorce diaries element is really about my life and you being my best friend. And when we did the pilot, we left you as Doug, right? And now that we wrote season one, we shifted your character to a fictional, but based off of, the best friend, which I think you're going to really like.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the developments.
Yeah, I think it's going to be.
And the pilot, we shot a pilot, a year and a half ago?
Year and a half ago, yeah.
A year and a half ago in New Jersey.
Yeah,
Cedar Grove, New Jersey area, and various other locations, New York. That was really fun because we shot it at my old high school.
Yeah,
so like that was like kind of a trip for me, like to go back and like shoot at the place that I went to high school at, where it all started.
It felt like that was one of my favorite days. It was the school.
That was my favorite day, just because I think like doing a production in the school, like where you grew up and you went, used to do the theater plays and stuff like that. Like that was fun to do.
And that's how we met doing a play. We didn't meet at Cedar Grove, but we met doing community theater. So it comes full circle.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It was kind of full circle. It's like, when are we going to have the opportunity to do that again? Probably never. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I think the start of it too is like, it's a really nice piece of the journey. Like everyone keeps saying, enjoy the journey, which is difficult because sometimes the journey's hard. But I feel like, those were moments where we were like, oh, this is really great. Like we get to have these comical moments together and be close, like be friends.
And we were with friends. Dave Schoner producing and
Mark
from here playing Mr. Hannon. So it was just good company, good crew, good people. And, it was fun just being back in New Jersey doing that, So that's and that pilot, that version of the pilot is in festivals. It's doing
winning
well
awards.
In festivals and winning awards, right?
Winning awards.
So what are some of the festivals it's appeared in and has won awards?
So we are currently about to be in Yonkers Film Festival, which is going to be our screening. It's going to be December 10th. And we also were in the Long Island Film Festival. We were, there's a ton of online festivals we've been in. And we've won Best Comedy Series, LA Film and Screenplay Festival, Best Direction, Best TV Pilot, Phoenix Shorts. The list goes on. We've won
great.
A total of 12 awards, which
that's
is great.
That's perfect, yeah.
Yeah.
Grab those laurels.
Yeah, I got those laurels, baby. Now we're looking for an investor for season
one. As Dave Schoner would say. It's not about the size of the festival. It's just getting into it.
Yeah, I
just
know.
Just get in.
Just get in. Just get in. Just, it's all good. It's all good. Just keep the dialogue going.
Yeah, this is my Dave Schoner impression. We love Dave.
And Dave's one of the EPs on the project.
We'll tag him in this.
We should tag him in this.
He knows we're making fun of him. All right, but with love. what is next for Divorce Diaries? You got shows coming up. You're filming a live stage show of this in Chicago.
Yeah. So the live show is continuously moving along. So Chicago, Long Island, New Jersey in the next couple of months, and in Chicago where. No, I signed with a producer to help develop it further. David Voxmullen, who you've had here.
David Voxmullen. Yeah, he's on the podcast. This episode's going to come out right after.
Right.
Dave's
whenever
episode.
He comes. But
I'm going to pair them together.
Pair them together. There you go. So he has helped me bring on like a production team and a writing team, and we wrote 6 episodes. Mm. Everything is packaged, ready to go. We have an investor package, all that kind of stuff to present the season to somebody who would invest in giving us the money to film it.
Right.
And it's definitely shifted in a way where I feel even better about the development.
Right.
And so as we're, I'm doing the live show and putting up this first special of the Divorce Diaries live edition, we're also looking for an investor for season one. And I finally feel like I'm in a place where I think I've said this to you, where I'm working with a producer who values my work.
He gets it.
He gets it.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of shady characters in and out of the Divorce Diaries store.
Look, it's hard to find.
He's not.
It's hard to find a collaborator that isn't like, is I don't know how to say it. Like, it's hard as an artist. It's hard to find a collaborator that even if they are an artist themselves, that doesn't want to take full control or. It's not their star vehicle or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're super equally passionate about it, And that's just finding a producer, someone who just wants to produce.
You know?
Like, I'd love to find someone that wants to help produce with this show, But like,
right.
I don't know who that is yet. What I mean? Because it's like, this is the show, and if you like it and like the idea, then maybe we can talk. And if we get along and whatever, It's hard to find. I can't even find like a co-host that wants to like hang in here every now and then.
I don't think you need one. I think your guest.
No, I know. No, but like every now and then, like I'd like to have like a woman like a voice on the show.
Right.
Because it's mainly like male dominated. So, which is fun. But like every now and then I got to toss it up because it's important, I think. I don't want to be that show that just has a bunch of dudes on hanging out.
No, I think you do. You have a nice diversity that's come to the panel so far. Yeah. I think that... I kept asking the universe. I know we were talking about being spiritual. I'm very about praying and manifesting and writing it out and asking the universe for this person and weeding out things that are not serving me. And for years, really, even before I wrote the pilot, I've been asking for the direction, right? Like, oh, I want to pitch this as a show. And you heard me and you're like, you got to like write a script. You got to get a script. And when I finally started to take the reins, I was like, okay, this is really part of the first part of the journey. And in the last year after the pilot was made, I felt like, we lost a consulting producer that you remember that we were still like, okay, is he not in?
Right.
It was introduced by an asshole. The mini asshole the last time.
A lot of assholes. In the business.
I do the former producer. I do, who I'm talking about. I can't say his name.
I believe so. Yeah.
I know this guy that I was like friends with, who I hooked up with and had a romance with. He introduced me to a producer that was sort of on the project and fell out, dipped out because of the other guy.
Right.
And then when I was like, I just want somebody that really takes this, like really just likes the work. And David Vox Mullen and I met through the Comedy Shrine when he was the booker.
Right.
And he does comedy and improv too. And he saw the pilot and instantly was like, I want a part of it, regardless of what it is.
That's
and
great. Yeah.
Like that's what it should
and
be.
I talked to him, you know, a couple weeks ago on the podcast. I haven't met him yet, but he's great. He's funny. You know, he's an entertainer as well. And he's got that business production savvy side of him. So I think it's a good fit. And I'm looking forward to meeting him at some point. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy. And it's hard, though, to find that, like you're saying. It is hard. But the next step is to have the series shot, the season one shot.
Season one, yeah.
But we got to get investors. So we have an investor.
So if you want to invest in Divorce Diaries, hit up Michelle Traynor. Yeah, what is the website, by the way?
DivorceDiariesShow.com. And they could also go to DivorceDiariesShow@gmail.com. Email me because we have an investors screening November 26th in Chicago.
Right. And Michelle's Instagram handle is right there on the YouTube slide. So you can go there, follow her, DM her, send some, you know, inquiries about.
They're going to say send some nudes. Please don't send nudes.
Don't send nudes.
Unless
you are funding the show. Then you can send a nude, maybe. That should be part of the package.
Douglas, don't tell my daughter to send
$20,000, they can send a nude, right?
$60,000?
Okay. $60,000, you can send a nude. You will not get a nude, but you can send one.
You can send one. That we will take. Nudes for $60K.
Maybe if it's $1 million, maybe you'll get a nude. I don't know.
Oh, well, yeah, I think I could send a nude for $1 million.
I think you could.
Yeah, I'm fine with it, actually.
I'm sure you've sent nudes for free, so.
Excuse me. To men that I've loved, Doug.
Loved? All right. Assholes live forever, right?
Speaking of assholes, Doug said, who would pay $40 to do a meet and greet with you? Okay, what people did, bitch.
Oh, yeah, so this is part of the show. We have a meet and greet. VIP tickets were sold. They all sold out, but Michelle tells me there's a meet and greet that you have to do. The show's at 7:30. We got to be there.
8 o'clock.
Oh, the show's at 8 o'clock. We got to be there at 7:15 to do a meet and greet.
Because then the house opens at 7:30.
Yeah, and I was like, I have to be part of this meet and greet? She's like, yes. And I was like,
you don't have to.
They don't want to meet me. I mean, here's the thing about the meet and greet beforehand. It's just like, you know, like what if I go in and I like suck and then they're like, oh, I don't know. Well, I guess
same
it's better
thing
to,
for me.
I guess it's better to meet them before if it like doesn't go well. Because then you can run away at the end.
Well, one of them is an investor in the pilot. He invested a couple hundred in the pilot. All right. So,
but I was joking. I was like, so the people that did not get VIP tickets, they do not get to meet us, correct? They didn't pay.
They get to meet us after the show.
Well, see, then they're getting the same deal as the VIP.
But they don't get the merch bag.
All right.
And I'm going to, you know, have a little more. So the meet and greet after the show is going to be quick because there's people that are going
to
go
in
and out.
The VIPs get to like touch you? Get to like.
No,
like,
that's why you're going to be there, to be honest with you.
I would think for a VIP, they could shake your hand.
Of course, but I'm going to
tell
them.
And the non-VIP is like, no. No fist bump.
Titty pick.
So you're already giving out free titty picks in the merch bag? Is that part of it?
No. Go to Divorce Diaries merch at Cafe Press.
Oh, okay. That's where you can get your
You can get your Divorce Diaries merch. This is special merch that I brought with me from Jersey. They get Bustelo.
This is limited edition.
Limited edition.
Got it. All right.
I'm shaving my legs for them.
During the show?
Oh. Maybe. Plucking nipple hair.
What if that was just, oh God. What if that was just part of the addition, like that you add every now and then? Now I will do a live shaving of my legs during the show.
I mean, that's pretty hot.
I mean, people would definitely come pay for that, I think. But
I know. Is it gross when you have, like, when you touch a woman's hair? Like, look how, like, white my legs are. I got to put tanner on.
Is it gross if you touch a woman's hair?
Like, and if you feel hair? Yeah.
I think like, yeah, like stubbly is like worse. I would almost rather there be like hair than stubble.
Stubble, because stubble's itchy.
Stubble's itchy.
Yeah. I don't like it either. Yeah. Like
if you're going to go all natural, then just do it, I guess. I don't
know. No, I'm going to shave because there's there's a cute guy coming tonight.
Here's the difference, I think, between like men and women. Like, so like men have hairy legs, right? So women are supposed to shave their legs, you know, quote unquote, whatever. So, yeah, the contrasting difference. So, like, if you're with a man or a woman, like, you feel like their legs up against your legs. There's a contrasting difference between men having the hairy legs, women having no hair on their legs.
I'm feeling it now.
Right. So, like, when there is a stubble, there's an obvious different sensation to the male.
Right.
Whereas if it was just hair, like if the woman let her hair go, then it would just be two hairy legs rubbing up against each other, and you probably wouldn't be able to tell. But then you might be like, wait, what is going on?
What is happening? Yeah. I mean, I like shaving everything, like my arms, my legs. I like getting a wax.
A lot of girls don't like waxing.
I love waxing.
Some girls either love it or they're like, no, that's too painful.
It's so much easier than shaving, and it's like less time you have to spend on it. But I wouldn't do my legs.
But you can't do that yourself.
People do. I don't. I have a girl, but I haven't seen her in a while because it's been a while since somebody deserves a wax.
What if you had a man doing that? You would never have a man do that.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I think the gender. It's just like I only get a wax if I'm going to be intimate with somebody for a period of time.
Right.
Then it's worth it. Because if it's not, it's like, oh, forget it. I'll just shave
it. It's another routine. I'm tired of shaving my face. Like, yeah.
That's a pain in the butt, right?
Yeah, that's why we're going to be growing my mustache this month for Movember. I'm going to do that for the month of November.
What is the point of that? It's for the
You can raise. I'm going to actually set it up on Facebook. I'm going to raise or see if anyone will donate money to men's cancer testicular.
Okay,
I think that's the thing behind it. Yeah.
Should I do that with my nipple hair for breast cancer awareness?
I don't think so. Nipple hair. I don't want to talk about that.
I'm Italian, all right? It comes all over the place sometimes.
Oh, my God.
I don't really get a mustache, thankfully.
Yeah. All right. Let's change the subject.
all right. I identify well, as this, it.
This is I'm a Basshole. Have you had any? I know you've been on the show before. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't remember your last. I didn't listen to the old episode to archive what we talked about last time. But, Have there been any? You know, new asshole stories since the last time you've been on?
I have to be the asshole, right?
You have to be the asshole. I mean, yeah, you should start with that. But you can also be like, this person was an asshole.
I mean, the producer guy, I totally make fun of him on stage. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how I'm an asshole. He's an asshole. But I'll see. Well, okay. I do have an asshole story. So right. I was out doing Divorce Diaries in South Jersey. And I ordered my food after the show. And I used to be a server, so I totally always tip my servers well. I get it, you know.
Right.
And they were closing, and I needed to order. I was like, yeah, sure. Usually, some places give the comics, like, a free meal, and I wasn't sure what the deal was. So I was like, what do you guys have steak? They're like, yeah, we have steak. And I ordered the steak, not seeing the menu or the price, right? I ordered filet mignon. Yeah. And I expected it to be a lot, but I didn't expect it to be what it came to.
Right.
And then one of my former students had come to see my show. He's now a grown adult, and he comes from a very rough background, and I wanted to treat him. So I said, order whatever you want. So he ordered a filet as well.
Oh shit! What kind of restaurant is this?
It was a restaurant in a Hilton. Okay.
Nice. Or
in like, the comedy club was in the Hilton, okay. I think.
So like middle of the line steakhouse kind of thing.
Yeah, but the hotel was charging a lot for this, so it ended up being $55 a steak. So the meal was a total of $200, and I never saw the price. So when she brought me, I was like, ah, fuck, man.
Why wasn't the price on it?
They didn't bring me a menu.
I wanted filet?
They're like, well, we have many steaks. We have filet. We have strip. I said, all right, bring me the filet. I thought maybe at least 30, but this was 50. So then I bit the bullet, and I said, well, it's my own fault for not asking for the price. Pay it with my card. Mm. I leave the tip 20% on the card because I don't have cash on me. Most places that I've now know have like tip out their servers at the end of the night, even with credit cards. Some places still put the tip in the paycheck if it's a credit card tip, which is sucky. But a lot of places don't, from what my knowledge was. And so, and from when I used to work and when they used to tip us out at the end of the night, no matter what. So the waitress comes back a short while later. She goes, can you give us cash for the tip? Otherwise, he has to wait 2 weeks to get it. And I was like, I don't have cash on me. She's like, oh. And she stood there as if I should figure a way to give them cash.
That's just odd.
That was odd, right? So my student throws down money, and I didn't want him to pay, especially after I just heard my former student, after I just heard some of his family struggling, his lights were torn down, the whole thing. He puts down his money and she goes, oh, thank you. And I said, no, I took his money. I gave it back. I crossed off the tip. Mm. I had $20 and the bill was $200. So I was going to leave $40, right? I only had $20 cash on me. I crossed out the tip. I gave her $20 cash, and that was it. I said, there you go. And I walked away. And she goes, oh, like annoyed. Because, and I knew I was a little bit of an asshole because I could have given $20 cash and give 20 on the card and say, this is all I have and not get snuffy about it because I've been in her position.
Right.
But I would never go back to the customer and say that. Like,
No.
She could have got.
It sounds like, first of all, it sounds like they didn't give you menus. Like this sounds like a decent steakhouse, I'm guessing.
It's a restaurant and a hotel, so still, it has to be
I would think restaurants and hotels should be even a little bit more because like guests are staying there,
right.
They're relying on the business, you know, it branches off into the hotel, whatever. But yeah, they didn't give you menus, so you don't even know like what they have. You know, normal server would be like, would you like to start with an appetizer? Would you like a glass of wine?
No,
you know, it was kind of like, what do you want?
Well, I had to seek them out too, because they were closing their kitchen in like 30 minutes.
And yeah, do you have cash? Like first of all, no one barely carries cash anymore.
Well,
and then the other thing, unless they go like, we're cash only, then you like, don't
she
go
could have
in
said
before,
that at the beginning.
You know, yeah.
Well, that's why I was an asshole to her, right. And I left half the tip. I was like, there you go.
Right. Because you didn't want him to pay.
No, I didn't want him to pay. Treat. And I thought it was so ballsy of her to come up to me. And I don't even know who she was referencing. I'm like, you served me and another person. And it's not like they did I was not a high maintenance customer.
No,
I asked for two glasses of wine and two steaks.
Two steaks, yeah.
And so I was pissed. And then I also felt really bad though, because I was a server and I didn't want to cheat. Like,
but it's almost like I would have either been like, do you have an ATM in the hotel or whatever? You could have done that.
Yeah, but it was also inconveniencing me. So I want to be like, fuck you, bitch. You're not getting nothing.
Right. I'd almost rather like Venmo the fucking waitress or what? I don't know. Can I Venmo you the $40? Like, I don't have cash. He's not paying. Can I Venmo you the $40? You know,
right.
I don't know. Whatever. But like, I've been to play. What they do now is I've noticed like I've used a debit card. Like I have a debit card where they like update. So like if you go out and then like you leave like a $10 tip or whatever, like the next day it'll be like updated total to, you know, $50 instead of 40 or whatever, you know, whatever your tip was like the next day. It's added or whatever, you know.
But those servers don't sometimes get it till like 2 weeks later.
I gotta tell you,
that's the restaurant's
fault. I bartend and like, everything. Most of the tips are credit cards, so it's like we get that in our paycheck.
Oh, so you don't? Okay.
I mean, we get cash tips every now and then, but like most of them are credit card tips, and you just get it in your paycheck. It says like gratuity, you know. Added.
So that does suck.
It does suck because then you know you have to, you know, obviously you should be reporting the cash tips anyway, but like you know, report some of them, but you know, but it's it's like most people just have cards now, and you know, and it's like that's what it is, you know.
Well, the thing with bartending and serving is that you get the money instantly, and I always appreciate that. I was, especially when I went back to waitressing and bartending after my divorce, it was easy money to get that right away. Yeah. So I felt bad. I felt like an asshole because I understood, but at the same time, I was like, I'm not making him pay, and now you're making me feel bad because I don't have the cash on me, like. That would have been like a manager should came up and say, hey, we only accept cash tip.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Not this waitress coming up.
Or the other thing is like, you know, sometimes like places just a lot of places add gratuity now. We're allowed to do that. Like if we want, like if you want to add 18% onto any check, I mean, usually it's parties of five or more or whatever, but like I sometimes just add it automatically. And like, you know, because like there's times where people are just like, I've served like, you know, foreigners and I'm like, I know they're not going to tip, like, you know, and it's like 18%. And if they don't want, you know, if they wanted to add 2% more, like, cool. If not, you know, and then, you know, and sometimes people don't even realize it and they double tip or whatever. You know?
I mean, I was always brought up to be a good tipper because my dad was a barber, so he worked for tips. So I did feel like an asshole about it, but I was fucking livid. And, you know, part of me wishes I could have handled it a little differently and just said, I wish you would have told me at the beginning, I only have this. I'm so sorry. And gave her back the check.
Right.
And as opposed to like throwing her back the check and crossing off the fucking $40.
No, right.
Which I have to be honest, I was anxious about because I was like, man, I'm on a fucking budget. And then I just blew it right there. So it was a little like, it was a little bit of anger at myself too.
I've done that before though. Like it's the worst when you don't ask to see a menu or whatever.
Yeah.
Like I remember like when I was in Iceland, like we went to this bar and it was like, you know, I wanted like a glass of whiskey or a shot of whiskey or whatever, you know, and like I just was like, oh, just, you know, give me whatever, give me what's good, you know? And like, then he, you know, and I was like,
probably, shot.
Yeah, well, it was like $60 for like the shot or whatever. And it was like, and Iceland's already expensive. So it was like, I was like, fuck, I should have asked, you know, but that was like my own fault. It was crowded. I was trying, you know, I was on vacation. I was like, just trying, you know, but it's like at the same time, you're like, fuck, that wasn't worth it. You know, it's like,
oh my God, $60.
Yeah. And I don't even know what it was. Like, he didn't even show me the bottle. You know what I mean? Like, if I was like, oh, this is Johnny Walker or something, you know, it's like, all right.
That's a good way to get, like, that's a good sales sneaky, let me fuck with the customer. $60 charge for a drink. Oh my God.
Well, yeah, it's like when people order drinks at my bar, I'm always like, you know, do you prefer a certain type of liquor or whatever, you know? And then sometimes they're like, no, you know, just the well. And I'm like, okay, great. But then if they're like, well, you know, what's good? You know, like, I'll just give me like whatever's good, you know? Like, then sometimes I'll give them like the middle of the line.
Yeah.
You know,
thing
that's like an extra.
Get that kettle on up there.
You know, but like, but then there's people that come in and get like 1942, like, you know, tequila, and that's $50 a shot.
Ugh.
You
know?
So
you're in a ritzy place. I worked in a college bar, so it was Maker's Mark,
different
Belvedere,
different, yeah, exactly, different clientele. I'd say, yeah, yeah. All right, well, I mean, I think like the waitress is more of an asshole in that story.
See, I always fuck up with the asshole stories,
but I mean, you definitely had like an asshole like vibe, probably because you were pissed. So like, she probably thought you were the asshole. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, in conjunction with that, they definitely thought I was the asshole because I gave them 10% tip.
Right. Like, she could have went back in the kitchen and been like, oh, they only tipped me $20, well, you know, or whatever.
There's another one where my daughter came home from school and said that this girl we had over our house, all of a sudden, within a week, was now being rude to her and ignoring her after the kid asked to come over our house.
Mm.
And she tells me, let's just say her name is Kiki, right? Kiki ignored me, has been ignoring me. Okay. Every day after we just had this girl over my house, I fucking blew up water balloons for her, got wet all over the fucking place. Yeah, right. And then this now girl's in a grade up above my daughter is now ignoring her. And she said, one day she comes home from school and says, Kiki just came over to me in lunch and like pretend to wave at me and did some weird mimicking thing and then ran away. So she was doing something that was like taunting my daughter in like an indiscreet way.
Right, right.
So she's like, and I don't know what she meant by that. So I see the girl across the street and I eye her and I stare her down. And I was like, well, let's ask her. She's crossing the street right now.
Shit. You just go right for the kid.
I go right for the kid. And I see her fucking stepdad across the street. I have no fucking problem bringing it to everybody's attention. Why are you fucking doing something weird and shady at my kid? Well, hey, Kiki, what is it that you meant by this at lunch today? And my daughter asked the question. And then the girl looked fucking scared because I was staring her down. I'm like, what did you mean by that? Because we want to make sure we're all being kind friends. And her dad's crossing the street and was like, hey. I was like, hi.
What did the dad say?
Nothing. Nobody said anything to me again. The kid left my kid alone.
Well, that's good. I mean, you got to stand up for your kids. I mean,
I was definitely an asshole. I almost lost it. My daughter, I'm like, did I do anything else that I forgot about? Because I saw I saw fucking red.
I mean, wait until they become teens. It's going to get like even more catty, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to start like taking my hoops off on the playground.
Hoops?
Showing up like, what the fuck's your problem?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there's a time and place for that, probably.
Detention.
I don't know. Detention for you?
I don't think they have to. That's what I'm saying. Parent detention.
Do they have that?
I don't know. I probably need it.
They should have that probably because there's always like that parent that goes like crazy at like the sports game or something like that.
Yeah.
I've heard of those stories, you know?
I mean, I feel like if your kid gets a slightly offended or you feel like there's a situation where they're being not included, you know, every parent wants to lose their shit.
Right.
You know, and address it because it's hard for even adults to address it within the community of school and their life, family life. And, you know, I lose it a little bit. I'm an asshole with that.
Well, that's all right. I mean, you know, you're protective. So
yeah,
it's important. It's important to be a good mom, you know?
It is.
Yeah. Well, like your journey here is a quick one to LA. You got here yesterday and then you immediately dropped everything in the apartment and you came in and made a mess.
I have like literally
dropped all the remotes.
I dropped all the remotes. I've used all your toilet paper because I have my period. I know that's gross.
Oh my god, yeah, that, people don't want to hear about that.
Well, I'm just saying, like every time I come here, there's
every
like,
time you do come here, like you're on your period.
I'm on my period,
which is weird.
I feel like it's God's way of saying don't fuck anybody, but like that stopped me before.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you know. I mean, all right. So what else?
All right. So Divorce Diaries is the main focus of like my life besides Grace.
That's
all,
I mean, yeah, your daughter and acting gigs. And acting gigs. Yeah.
Doing some stand-up gigs out in New York next weekend too.
You're auditioning for stuff?
Yeah, I auditioned for a bunch of stuff. I've been doing a lot of like UGC commercials, which is user generated commercials, and like the company will say, "Hey, we cast you in this film from your house," which is great for a single mom actor because you don't have to leave the house.
So you just film on your iPhone?
Yep.
Really?
Smart News and Maley's Cosmetics. You can find me all over the place with them.
Have you seen it on TV?
On in the internet, a lot of people have actually shared the Maley's Cosmetics one with me, and they see it. The Smart News one I haven't seen yet, but I've done two for them, and they pay you like immediately. It's great. Right. It's not like, you know, like commercial, like national commercial pay, but it's good. Like for what you're doing. There is also, I wrote a TV pilot for another series with a bunch of women that are out in the Midwest. That is that's another project that I'm working on.
How do you like writing with the writers group with Divorce Diaries?
I think it's very
different, right?
It's different. I think we chose having them write about my life was a little weird at first because I felt like I had to take a step back and listen to their thoughts and also take a lens of fictional versus reality. And we all worked very collaboratively together. There was one writer on who was a friend of mine in Jersey, but he ended up not being on, which I think worked well because the team in itself really listens and takes and gives and gives and takes.
Right.
And so I did co-write each episode with each writer.
Are you amazed at like the ideas that they've come up with and like things that you probably wouldn't have thought of doing or that?
Yes.
Kind of thing?
Yeah. There's some new characters that we've introduced that are kind of cool. And some bits that I would not have noticed that they tweaked and helped. And I'm really proud of where it's going. And where these six episodes have landed so far. Because I know we'll do some more rewrites once it's in production. But I'm excited about it.
Yeah. It sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to, whenever it's funded to start production and shoot.
I'm very excited.
It'll be like, just having a giant redo of the pilot and then the whole season. And doing it at a higher level almost. So.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for the next step and phase for it and just manifesting that investor to come through. And it's not a matter of if, it's just when, you know, that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. All right. Well, Michelle Traina and her show Divorce Diaries is performing all over the country, all over the states, pretty much.
We got to get out of the country, too.
We're in San Diego. We're, she's going to be in Chicago at the end of November. She is regularly at the Broadway Comedy Club, right?
Yeah, I mean, I do Broadway a little bit less regularly now because I've been really focusing on it as a national traveling show. Right, the next New York City show isn't up yet, but we'll be doing it in New York on Long Island at Governor's Comedy Club.
But you're usually in New York City at least, once every six months.
Once
every 6 months. Okay, and then New Jersey
Comedy Dojo,
North Jersey, and the Comedy Dojo, which is where is that at? That's in
that is in Morris Plains. I love that place. Yeah, good place.
That's interesting because the Comedy Dojo started here. Up the street in
Sam
Hollywood.
Owns that one too with Mike Romanelli.
Sam
and the East
that
one.
Guy Trevor Kevilla. He was a partner with Sam. But like that we don't even have a dojo of comedy here anymore because they closed down here during pandemic and now there's I don't know if that's the only one. I don't know. It started here and now we don't even have it here anymore.
Well, you'll have to come out to Jersey, maybe. Maybe you'll do an appearance on it in January.
Maybe. It's interesting that they started in Jersey, yeah. Do they have roots there?
So one of the owners owns Tiff's restaurant. Oh, okay. He's a head chef. And then I guess his friend is also Sam Tripoli. I think that's the connection, but I'm friends now with Mike. And Mike is a very supportive booker of Divorce Diaries and what my mission is with it. So it works well.
Well, that's good. That's good. All right. So look for Divorce Diaries.
New Year's Eve too.
Oh, where's New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve is going to be a special divorce series in Wheaton, Illinois, West Side Improv. So you do
Wheaton, Illinois.
Yeah, it's right. Chicago. It's the Chicagoland area. So if you're in Chicago,
what is the club?
It's called the West Side Improv.
Oh, okay.
So that's going to be our special New Year's Eve show too. So he has a lot of stuff coming on.
I didn't realize you're doing New Year's Eve show.
I know. We haven't. We've been catching up here and there, but
I know we've been busy. Yeah, it's Well, that's great. That's great. So you got. So you're gonna be in Illinois twice in the next month or two, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe that'll be your new little home base, I guess.
Maybe I'll find a nice Chicagoan guy, and I will not probably date him because he'll be allergic to me somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That's how I even set up my fairy tales to fail.
Write it up. All right. Well, make sure you follow Divorce Diary Show on Instagram and go to the website and just follow Michelle. And, you know, she's a little crazy sometimes, but we love her. See, look at this energy she has. This is too much for me right now. I'm like ready to take a nap. Divorced AF. You can buy her merch at where?
At Cafe Press Divorce Diary Shop. Boo.
All right. So get something there for the holidays are coming up. And what better way to give gifts to your loved ones than saying, I'm going to divorce you. Here's a Divorce Diaries mug.
This is my coffee. You can get a mug that says my coffee. And you can be married. Don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about it.
Christmas season is the biggest season for separation and divorce, so make sure you take advantage of that and go to divorcediaries.com for divorcediariesshow.com for all your holiday divorce gifts.
Tickets.
Don't forget, this is a hot item for the holiday. There's a Black Friday sale, possibly.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that.
Maybe look at me advertising.
I love that. And we're going to actually also, we have...
Act now. People that are getting married, you should get them their divorce gifts early.
Yeah.
So get the wedding gift out of the way, but then also pick up something for when the divorce happens. You know?
I've had
just
engagement
have it, put it in, your closet, you know?
But that
gift that you're going to need at some point that you don't know exactly when,
yeah,
you know, but you have it. You have it. So when it happens, you're ready.
There's been bachelor parties and engagements at my show before, which is so interesting.
Bachelor parties. Yeah, that's weird.
I had a bachelor party.
And engagements.
Yeah, there was a group of bachelors in Ohio.
So they go and they're like, I don't know, let's double think this or whatever.
I'm trying to feel them out. I'm trying to just, you know, hey.
Yeah, like why would you? No, I mean, no offense. I mean, obviously you want people
to
go.
Thanks, Doug.
No, but like why would like someone be like an engagement party or bachelor, bachelorette? Like, let's go to a divorce show.
I don't know. I mean, here's what I like.
Don't
to
you
look
think
at
that's
it.
Odd a little bit?
It is a little odd, but I think sometimes people get confused because they like, well, I'm getting married. Because when we were in Vegas, Doug was being very generous and helping me hand out flyers for the show on the Strip. And some people were like, well, I'm getting married. I'm like, oh, it's actually just a story about my life.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I feel like, but in the sense of like, I love the name so much, I'm not shifting it. Fuck that.
Whatever. Right,
people
right,
can
right.
come. And I do have a lot of married friends that are divorced. That like the show because they got remarried right. and they like.
Of course, it's a part of life.
It's a part of life.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it is interesting. Like you know, someone that's in charge of the activities or the wedding party or the engagement or bachelor or whatever. Someone in that group is like, we're going to this show at this time, and then we're doing this and that. You know, so it's like someone decides like we're going to a divorce diaries comedy show. And it's
I
like
think it's funny.
And it is funny, but it's like wondering like even from the input of the other like girls or it's like why are you crazy? You know, why would
I
you do that?
Celebrate my life.
Yeah, because you know there's like a couple girls in the group being like, I don't think this is a good idea. Like, why would you do?
Well,
you know,
it was a man. It wasn't a wet female. I know it was the men that came, but they seemed to like it.
Yeah,
but
well, that's cool though. Good. It's a little bit of, it's something for everyone.
There is something for everybody. That is one of the quotes. Jen Stay from ABC News in Punta Gorda said that. She goes, there's something for everybody in here.
Oh, Punta Gorda, yeah.
Punta Gorda.
I've been there, Punta Gorda.
We've had some good shows there together.
We have some good times. I don't know if I'll be back.
We're sold out tonight in LA. It's going to be a good show. I'm excited to work with you on stage again.
Exactly. It'll be a reunion of sorts, and it'll be very different from me. So it'll be an experience. I'm excited. Who knows what's going to happen. Anything can happen. All right. We got to go. All right. So, Michelle Traina, thank you for being here in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. You're always welcome. Guys, make sure you go to the you know, the Instagram page again, like I said, at Basshole Podcast or at Basshole Show. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and Spotify and wherever you get your podcast fix. Leave us a review, you know, give us a little rating. Tell your friends about us. I know you guys are listening in different countries. You might want to tell your friends, and they'll tell their friends. That way we can grow the podcast. All right, guys, maybe. And remember, we're going to be at the Hollywood Improv on Sunday, November 11th at 9 p.m. That is a live show. You can grab tickets at bassholeshow.com. And remember, guys, don't be a basshole. But if you are, laugh about it. We'll see you next time. Ciao.
You've been listening to I'm a Basshole with Doug Bass. Follow us on Instagram at Basshole Show. Think you deserve to be on the show? Email us at contact@bassholeshow.com and visit our website at www.bassholeshow.com and get the latest information. Subscribe on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast fix, and don't miss the full videos on YouTube. Remember, don't be a basshole, but if you are, laugh about it. We'll see you next time.